place in the book of Romans chapter 1, the book of Romans chapter 1. It'll take me just a while to get there. The Lord has laid something specific on my heart. I don't know if it's been months or years ago now, whatever the case may be. Maybe both, I guess. I did a series on smashing Satan's strongholds. Talking about just the different topics in life that we deal with. During that series, I preached on the stronghold of worry, preached on the stronghold of bitterness, the stronghold in the men's life on pornography. My wife did a special ladies' stronghold on the tongue. I preached on the stronghold of complacency, the stronghold of the battle for the mind. You can go back and get all of that. And I thought that I may have been done with that series, but the Lord has laid on my heart to keep it going. This is going to be our topical series, and I'm just going to take my time as we're traveling through the Word of God. I'm preaching through the book of Luke right now, the patchwork. I'm preaching through Exodus. But the Lord has laid these specific topics on my heart. Strongholds is what I call it. So what we're going to do eventually, it may be a year from now or whatever, just however long the Lord lays on my heart to preach on this, we're going to be taking different things that the flesh deals with and different strongholds that the devil tries to use to bring you into bondage and show you how to live in victory over these things. As a matter of fact, when you read the Word of God is divided a lot by these same topics, by different stories and all these things. Today, I'm beginning. Not going to get through it this morning. God willing, I'm going to expose the bad side of it this morning and give you the answer for it tonight. So if you just come this morning, I realize some of you cannot come back tonight, but if you cannot be here, you need to get a copy of the message. Because this morning, you're just going to realize, boy, this is terrible. But tonight, you're going to say, okay, I don't have to live in bondage to it anymore. That's tonight. So be back in God's house tonight and get that. That's if I stop all this introduction stuff here and get started. You're in Romans chapter 1. You stay there. I'm going to Song of Solomon chapter 8. Listen to this. See if you can pick out the stronghold that we're beginning. Song of Solomon chapter 8 verse 6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave. The Word of God teaches in Proverbs chapter 27 verse 4, says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who shall be able to stand before envy? And I preach to you this morning on the stronghold of jealousy. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done in this service. Speak to our hearts. Help us to get as far as you'd have us to get. And show others what you've shown me. And help us to live in victory over this in Jesus' name. Amen. Strongholds have been identified as carnal cities or fleshly fortresses. They are things that war against the spirit and seek to hold us in bondage. These strongholds can get a very tight grip on us, even to the point that we feel there's no way of escape. Now, if these strongholds are not broken, they have potential to hold even a child of God who has been set free in Christ. These fleshly fortresses, these carnal cities, these satanic strongholds have the potential of even holding a free child of God into its grips of bondage. One of these strongholds the devil tries to use against us is the stronghold of jealousy. Jealousy has been identified as resentment against a rival. A person enjoying success or advantage. In other words, when somebody else is being blessed, it starts to creep up. Or against another success or advantage itself. See, if we're not careful, this satanic stronghold can grab a hold of every single person in this room. It is something that creeps up on us when we see someone else being blessed in a way that we think we are not being blessed. One man put it this way, we may become jealous of others because we think they have more than we do. Often we're tempted to become jealous. We're afraid that someone will take our place. There's a possessiveness hidden within jealousy that's very dangerous. Envy comes when we see someone gain a certain position that we believe we should hold. We can become so caught up in what another person has that we lose sight of what God has given us. It's been said, and I quote, "The time to deal with jealousy is when you notice yourself keeping score of another's recognition, another's awards, or another's achievements." Jealousy is an evil beast that comes out due to honor being given to someone other than self. And may I say to you here this morning that jealousy can come out in a number of ways. And I'll go as far to say this. A majority of people who have it may not even know it. That's how they work. Good to see Brother Wampler here. God bless you, sir. That Mr. Apple Butter, there he is. I'm jealous of that in your life, you know what I mean? What am I saying here? I'm saying in this message, I want to simply expose the stronghold of jealousy and bring out some things to help us live in victory over it. And as we travel through this message, ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Before we get to the main outline, let us consider that the Word of God directly commands us not to be jealous. It's not an option. It's a command. Do you realize that somebody who's having marriage problems can be jealous of somebody who's not? Do you realize that somebody who has health problems can be jealous of somebody who has good health? Did you realize that you can become envious over a number of things? And in all of this, I'm just trying to expose it to say, hey, do you have it? If you don't have it, praise God for it, but you better battle against it because He's going to try to hit you with it, I guarantee it. He's going to try to make you think somebody has it better off than you do. I can't believe that they have what I want. It shows itself in covetousness. The Word of God says in Romans 13:13, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying." The word envy is jealousy. Galatians 5:26, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Now there's, how many things do I have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I'm kidding, folks, okay? Number one, I want to show you first of all the commentary on jealousy. The commentary means it's explanation. It's explaining. What is it? Okay? Now, the first thing I want to do here is just explain how God sees jealousy. What is it? What does God say about it? When you think about a commentary, you think about books, you know what this man has to say about that verse. I'm not giving you man's commentary. I'm giving you God's commentary. In other words, I'm going to show you from the Word of God. This may be as far as I get this morning. If it is, then we'll proceed tonight and then go to Wednesday night, whatever the case may be. I'm just going to take my time here. I want to show you what God says about it. Now, you're in Romans chapter 1. I want you to look at Romans chapter 1 and look at verse number 28. We're just going to do a Bible study here on jealousy. What's the commentary of it? What does God say about it? Romans 1:28. The Word of God says this, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness," notice it now, "full of" what? "Envy." There it is. "Murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Here's what I'm saying. In a list of things that are not convenient, in a list of things that are not righteous, in a list of things that are evidence, get it now, evidence of things that people are obviously not thinking about God. Did you hear what I said? Word of God says that He gave them over to a reprobate mind. They didn't want to keep God in their mind. They don't want to think about God. And when they don't think about God, then murderers and whisperings and envy is the result. That's what God says about it. Let's go on. Look at Romans chapter 13. You're in Romans. Look at Romans chapter 13. Look at verse number 13 and 14. The Word of God says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What's those verses tell you about envy? Those verses tell you about envy, that it's evidence that you have not put on Christ at that moment. It is evidence that you right here are fulfilling the lust of the flesh during this time. Galatians chapter 5, you don't have to turn to it. You can follow me if you want to do that, but you don't have to. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. I'm just giving you God's commentary on it. What's God say about it? God says it's as bad as murder. That's what He says in Romans chapter 1. He puts it in the same list as murderers. He puts it in the same list as all those ungodly deeds. Then in Romans 13, He identifies it as fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's see if we can figure out what God's saying here. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Notice it now: envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. God's saying this in Galatians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Jealousy is one of those fleshly things that wars against the spirit. It is the evidence of the work of the flesh. That's what it is. And He's saying here that it's just as bad as adultery and fornication and idolatry and witchcraft. Let me ask you a question. Does witchcraft not just kind of just make you uneasy about things? I'm talking about witchcraft, demonic activity, demonism, worshiping the devil. I mean, all the darkness and blackness and everything that goes with that. That's a little bit freaky, friends. But in the Word of God, God put jealousy right along with it. Now, friends, this is not man's word, it's God's word. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5, listen to this. This is all the commentary on it. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Here's what he's saying. If any man teach anything other than the Bible, and if any man doesn't want anything to do with wholesome words, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and to the doctrine that's according to godliness. In other words, if somebody doesn't want anything to do with it, listen to this. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy. Strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. In these verses, God says jealousy is the evidence of ungodliness. It's the evidence of pride. It's the evidence of knowing nothing. That's what He says. If you're jealous, you just don't know anything. That's what God is saying here. Knowing nothing. It's evidence of consenting not to the words of Jesus Christ. It's evidence, if it's in your heart, that you don't want anything to do with what Jesus has said. Don't you think God is condemning this right off the bat, friends? Let's go on. Titus 3:3, listen to this. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. See, envy in this verse here is associated with being foolish, being disobedient, being deceived, and serving different lusts of the flesh. Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. You know what that means? That means God looks at envy like an incurable disease that eats your bones and decays them inside. What a stronghold. The commentary on it, my friends, is that God has condemned it. It is a work of the flesh. It is evidence of deception. It's evidence, I mean, it's just as bad as witchcraft. It is evidence of the flesh warring against the spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:3, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, there it is, jealousy, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Jealousy and envy are evidence of carnality. And carnality, flesh, the flesh, carnality, the flesh, is 100% in disagreement against the Spirit of God. It's at battle against the Spirit of God. One man put it this way, and I quote, and we move on. Jealousy and envy are listed as sins that are carnal, fleshly, and demonic. And that's exactly right. There is nothing, listen to me please, there is nothing good that comes from jealousy. God is not pleased with it, and it can consume you if you give it a chance. That's the commentary. Number two, let's show you the cases of it. Now, I'm going to give you some stuff that you can make notes, or if you want my notes, just let me know. I'll run them off and give them to you, okay? This is not something that, hey, try to remember everything the preacher's saying. You're not going to remember it. This is a Bible study on jealousy. And I'm loading your plate here. But the one thing I'm trying to do this morning is just to expose it, that it's against God, it displeases God, and it's going to attack you, and you need to see it for what it is. Number two, the cases. Within the Word of God, we have different cases of jealousy, different times of it. Matter of fact, let me just give you what it is, the text, the main verse, and then I'll just mention it and go on. First of all, you have Rachel and Leah. This is found in Genesis chapter number 30, verses 1 through 9. If you're taking notes, you need to write these down. Unless you just want to get my copy, I'll give it to you now. That keeps you from having to write notes. You see what I'm saying? But especially verse number 1. The Word of God says in Genesis chapter 30, verses 1 through 9, this is the story of Rachel and Leah. And if you know the story here, this is the time where Rachel has no children. And Leah is giving birth one right after another, okay? And verse number 1 says this, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. She envied her. And if you read through these 9 verses here, and you read this story starting right there, you will notice that because of Rachel's jealousy of Leah, she had strife with Leah, but it spilled over with strife with her own husband. Read it. And it all happened because she thought that God was better to Leah than he was to her. She's going to give birth to Joseph, friends. She doesn't know that yet. What am I saying to you? I'm saying God knows what he's doing. But the devil tries to get you to see, look what he has. Boy, don't you wish you had that? Don't you wish you had that? Why is this happening to you? Why can't you have what he has? Some people never say it with their mouth, but in their mind, they're thinking those exact thoughts. That's jealousy. Rachel and Leah. Number two, Joseph and his brothers. This is found in Genesis chapter 37. And also in Acts chapter 7, verse number 9. Let me just read that verse to you. Acts 7, 9 says, and the patriarchs, talking about Joseph's brothers, moved with envy. sold Joseph into Egypt. What was it that sold Joseph into Egypt? Envy. Jealousy. And you'll notice in verse number 20 of Genesis chapter 37 how these brothers concocted a story. When they sold him, then they tried to concoct a story to take it back to their daddy. Remember what they did? They stripped him of his coat of many colors. They killed an animal where the blood was coming out, and they soaked his coat in it, and they took it back to their daddy, and they said, "Some evil beast hath devoured him." I preached through Genesis, and I preached on that topic, an evil beast. Because even though they lied about it, it wasn't a beast that they were talking about. It was an evil beast that got Joseph. The evil beast of jealousy. They didn't like what he had. They wanted it themselves. So they sold him. Let me give you another one. Boy, this is a powerful one. Glory. When you think about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, what do you think of? The earth opening up and swallowing them? Numbers chapter 16. I mean, they're leaders in the Israelite army. And yet they, in Numbers chapter 16, great chapter. Great chapter. Powerful chapter. They are upset at Moses. I'm paraphrasing. Aren't you glad I'm paraphrasing these things, right, friends? And they get so upset with Moses that they say, "Who do you think you are?" Now, I'm paraphrasing. They said, "You take too much on you, Moses. We're all good men. Who do you think you are to try to lead us?" Read it. Moses took it to God. Here's what God said. "You tell the Israelites to get away from them." In other words, you see somebody who is slandering biblical leadership, you better separate from them. You better get away from them. Because God said this, "I'm going to take them down. And anybody who doesn't separate from them will go down with them." And that's exactly what he did. The earth opened up and they dropped straight into hell, friends. What was the problem? You don't find it in number 16. You find it in the book of Psalms, Psalm 106, 16 to 18. Listen to this. They envied Moses. Also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord, the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. What happened with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? God said they did it because they were jealous. Let me give you another one. I've got five more. Let me just mention them. Saul and David. The Word of God teaches about Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 7 through 9. Here's what it says. "And the women answered one another as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me have they ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more than but the kingdom?'" Verse 9. "And Saul eyed David from that day forward." What's that tell you? That tells you that because of Saul's jealousy of David, he tried to kill him on more than one occasion. And if you will read the whole story, you will see his own son Jonathan tried to take up for David, and Saul tried to kill his own boy. The problem? He didn't think he was blessed enough. He was jealous. The other one? The Sadducees and the apostles. Just write down the text, Acts 5, 12 through 8. The word indignation in verse number 17, Acts 5, 12 through 18, in verse 17, it says they were filled with indignation. You know what that word indignation means? It means they were jealous. That's what it means. And because of their jealousy, they put their hands on the apostles and they threw them into prison. Another one is Jews, is the Jews with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 13, verses 44 and 45. When these Jews saw the crowd coming to hear God's word, they got jealous. And they began to speak against the Bible. In other words, they were saying, he's telling you falsehoods. And the Word of God says they even went so far as to blaspheme. But yet in those verses, it brings out how they envied Paul. They were jealous of him. The Jews and Jason in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 to 8, Paul is speaking in that place. And apparently Jason allowed his house to be used as one of these meeting places. And the Word of God says in Acts 17, 1 through 8, especially verse 5, the Bible says that the unbelieving Jews got jealous of Paul's ministry and they took it out on Jason. They took it out on him. Because they were jealous of Paul, they wanted to take it out on Jason because Jason let his house be used by Paul, who they could not stand. You know, those are all terrible examples, but it's not the worst one. It's not the worst one. You know the worst case of envy in the Bible? Let me give you the text. Matthew 27, 15 to 25, Mark 15, 7 to 15. You have the Lord Jesus Christ in bodily form. He is standing before Pilate. They're going to rip open his back, put crown of thorns on his head, tear his beard out of his face, clear their throat and spit on him to where their spittle's running down his face. They're going to rip his back open with a cat of nine tails. And he's standing there before Pilate. He's going to be sentenced to death. And here's what the Word of God says. In Matthew 27, 18 and Mark 15, 10, the Bible says Pilate knew that they had delivered him because of envy. Read it. You and I know that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Can I get an amen there, friends? We know that He was going to bleed and die for our sins. But on the human side of it, what was used to crucify him was the sin of jealousy. They did not like him because he had so much of a blessing on him. They wanted what he had. He had the crowd. He had the multitude. He had the truth, and they wanted it. So they were willing to take an innocent man, the sinless Son of the living God, and rip his back off, pull his hair out, spit in his face, put a crown of thorns on his brow, put spikes through his hands and his feet, all because of jealousy. That's the cases of it. Number three, let me show you the cause of it. Why do people get jealous? Let me ask you this question. What causes jealousy? You know, while many have their own preconceived answer to this question, I want to say loud and clear that jealousy is simply, get this, not looking unto Jesus. It is taking our eyes off of God and putting them completely and totally upon ourselves, our desires, our wants. One preacher put it this way, and I quote, "Satan loves for your eyes to become fixed on yourself, your feelings, your rights, your needs. Whatever has your focus also has you." Let me ask you this, or ask yourself this question, are the eyes of my heart set on Jesus Christ, or am I angry and jealous of others? When we find ourselves jealous of somebody else, it's because our eyes have shifted off of our God, who has been, is, and always will be better than we ever deserve. Did you hear what I said? He already has been better than we deserve. He is now, and He always will be so good to me. No matter what happens in this life, He's always been good to me. He never changes. Yet when my mind starts being jealous of that person or jealous of that or jealous of that or jealous of that, it's looking at God and saying, I'm not satisfied with you. That's what jealousy does. It's taking your eyes off of the goodness of God. Preacher said this, just because we see someone advancing before us does not mean that God is withholding His goodness toward us. When we're jealous, we're simply focused on what we think we do not have instead of His best gifts He has given us. This same preacher goes on to say, if you only see your life in light of what you don't have when compared to someone else, you will never learn to enjoy what God has given you. If we do not receive what we think we should, we become jealous, and in doing so, we overlook God's goodness and holiness. This is what jealousy tempts us to do. Think more of the things we do not have than of the blessings God has given. If we could see what God sees, we would never be jealous. Let me say that again. If we could see what God sees, we would never be jealous. He knows what's best for each of His children. The preacher went on to say this, coveting what another person has only prevents you from enjoying the journey that he's mapped out. Jealousy is an announcement that one does not truly realize how important they are to God and how much He really does love them and how much He has blessed them. Jealousy implies that we are not satisfied with what God has given. And friends, that is ridiculous. In summary, let us see the cause of jealousy. Get it now. What causes it? Well, He did. What causes it? That did. If that just didn't happen, I wouldn't be jealous. Hogwash. Hogwash, whatever that is. What am I saying to you? I'm saying, the cause for jealousy is the wrong view of God. That's the cause of it. It's the wrong view of His goodness, of His holiness, of His mercy, of His grace in the lives of His children. Jealousy is an indictment on the character of God. Therefore, that makes it very serious. May I say this? Nothing's more valuable than to know that God loves us. Nothing's more valuable than that. You mean God loves me? Yes, God loves me. Nothing's more valuable than that. You know what jealousy says? I disagree. I disagree. This is the cause of jealousy. The jealousy is not his problem, that problem, that problem. It's a problem between the person who has it and God Himself. That's the cause. Number four, can't believe I'm getting to it. I've given myself about 5 or 10 minutes here. Number four, let me show you the consequences of it. The consequences of it. Jealousy is a sin against God. Amen, friends? And sin always comes with a price. If you find yourself jealous and you do not deal with it, now tonight I'm going to show you how to deal with it. Okay? I'm going to show you how to deal with it tonight. So if you miss it and you could have been here, it's your fault. Now if you can't be here, just call in, watch it live, whatever. If you want to live in victory, you come back tonight. Now it's not hearing the message, it's putting into practice the message from tonight. But let me say this, if you find yourself jealous and you don't deal with it, you will suffer the consequences. What are they? They're found among many other things, but what I'm focusing on here is they're found in James chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. Let me read this. But if ye have bitter envying, there it is, jealousy. If ye have bitter jealousy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above. In other words, if you have envy in your heart, that's not coming from God. But it is earthly, sensual, devilish, the Bible says here. Here it is now. For where envying and strife is, comma, there is, here we go now, confusion and every evil work. You know what the consequences of jealousy are? Confusion and anything the devil's capable of doing. Let me explain it. These verses teach us that where envy and strife are, there's confusion never even work. The word confusion here means instability. It means disorder, commotion, tumult. In other words, where jealousy is, it knocks you for a loop. You're not stable. You're woozy. You're not stable on your feet. You're just swinging with the winds and all that. I mean, you're not planted firm. The phrase evil work, every evil work, means nothing good comes from it. Nothing. Everything that comes from it is evil. That's what it's saying. One commentary put it this way: love and harmony, of course, are banished. All happiness disappears. All prosperity is at an end. In place of the peaceful virtues which ought to prevail, there springs up every evil passion that tends to mar the peace of a community. Where this spirit prevails in a church, it is of course impossible to expect progress in divine things. In other words, one of the consequences of jealousy is that there's no godliness. Everything that comes out of jealousy is wickedness, evil, devilish, earthly, sensual, fleshly. And all of that is in contradiction to the Spirit of God. One man put it this way: instead of bringing people together, it drives them apart. Instead of producing peace, it produces strife. Instead of producing a fellowship, it produces a disruption in personal relationship. It's a sobering thing to remember that the wisdom that man possesses is devilish rather than divine, and that such a man is engaged on Satan's work and not on God's work. The bottom line is jealousy will cause strife, contention. It'll cause turmoil. It'll cause confusion. It'll cause wickedness. It'll cause self-destruction. And it'll cause the devil to sit over in a corner and laugh and smile. Let me give you this story. D.L. Moody told it. It's obviously not a literal story that took place. It's a fictional story that just proves the point. He told of a fable of an eagle who was envious of another eagle that he thought could fly better than he could. So one day this eagle saw a sportsman with a bow and an arrow, and he said to him, this eagle — that's why it's not a true story, folks, because eagles do not literally talk, okay? I mean, everybody understand that, right? So don't go home and say the preacher said an eagle was talking to somebody. No, I'm saying this is fictional, all right? And he said this to the sportsman. He said, "I wish you could bring down that eagle up there." He's jealous of it. The man said he would if he had some feathers for his arrow. So the jealous eagle pulled out one of his feathers. And the sportsman shot the arrow, but it didn't quite reach the rival bird because he was flying too high. And the eagle on the ground pulled out another feather and another, until he lost so many that he himself couldn't fly. And the archer took advantage of the situation, turned around and killed him instead. D.L. Moody made this application: if you're envious of others, the one you will hurt the most by your actions will be yourself. And I remind you this as we're starting to come to a close. That doesn't mean you're coming to a close, okay? This is one of those strongholds. As a matter of fact, when I go through strongholds like this, and God has laid this on my heart, as I go through strongholds, pride starts creeping in. And in the hearts of people, some people think to themselves, "Boy, that's me." But I will not submit. You know what's hard? It's hard just to get honest. You know what God's searching for today? You know what He wants? Just get real, get honest. If you're sitting there today, say, "I never struggle with jealousy." You're deceived, friends. You're deceived. You're telling me that you have never at any time in your life looked at somebody and said, boy, I wish I had that instead. You're telling me that that never goes across your mind. That, boy, I wish I had that position. Why didn't they ask me? Nobody asked me. You mean the blessing he has, the blessing she has? Boy, why don't I have that? That's all jealousy. Now, can I say this on the flip side? There's nothing wrong with seeing somebody blessed, and in your heart you're really not jealous, but you do have a desire to really, really have the blessing of God on you like that. Does that make sense what I'm saying to you? There's nothing wrong with having a godly desire. What I'm talking about, though, is antagonistic. Why did it have to happen to him? Why did it have to happen to her? Why can't my marriage be like that? I'm saying this is something the devil, if you could see him, kind of hops up on your shoulder. Doesn't happen this way, but like the old cartoon, you know, the devil's on one shoulder and the angel's on the other shoulder, and the devil's whispering at you and saying, look over there. Boy, it'd be good to have that, wouldn't it? Wonder why God didn't give that to you. And the whole time God's saying, you don't see what I see. And every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. He said, what I do give is what's best for you. And if I don't give you anything else now, if you're my child, I have delivered you from hell. And anything less than hell is a pretty good gift, friends. God has been good, is what I'm saying. Jealousy looks him right in the face and says, you have not been good enough. So will you agree with me this morning that jealousy is something that should not be in the life of a child of God? Do you agree with that? That's what I'm doing this morning, exposing it for what it is. It is sin. Tonight, I'm going to give you the strategy to live in victory, but this morning, I'm simply asking, will you be honest? And will you say, God, that's me. Help me not to be jealous anymore. Jealousy is a stronghold. But it does not have to hold you. The answer is found in Jesus Christ. And I hope you'll be back tonight to hear it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be clean. I pray that you help us to deal with what you'd have us to deal with. And help us, Lord, not to be jealous. So many times when the beast of jealousy tries to rear its ugly head. Help us to live in victory over this stronghold. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I want to ask you this question tonight, this morning. Are you 100% sure that you are going to heaven? I didn't ask, are you 90%, 95%, 99%? No, I'm asking, are you 100% sure you are going to heaven? Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm a believer. I'm not 100% sure. Now, it could be that you're just doubting. You could be struggling with doubts. Just because you raise your hand doesn't mean you're lost. But at least you say in your mind right now, I cannot say I'm 100% sure. I don't know that for sure, 100%. If you do not know the answer to that question 100%, as they begin to play through softly, would you raise your hand, please? Is there anybody like that? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure. Then let me ask you this question. Be honest. This doesn't mean that you're losing the battle. I'm prefacing this question this way. It does not mean that you're losing this battle. But how many today say, Jody, when you're preaching about jealousy, envy, fleshly work, devilish work, really looking at God and saying, I'm not satisfied with what you've done for me. Let me say, Jody, I want to admit at least that I'm battling that. Now, again, that does not mean that you're losing the battle. It can mean that you're winning that battle. But it's what I'm saying is that you acknowledge that it's something that the devil tries to use in your life. Do you understand what I'm asking? I'm not asking, are you of jealous of somebody specifically, and boy, you need, I'm not asking any of that. All I'm asking is do you recognize this as a stronghold that the devil really does try to use in your life? Have you say, Jody, that's me. Now again, you could be winning the battle, but if you recognize it at least as a stronghold that the devil does try to use in your life, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Jealousy, envy. Yes, God bless you. That's a lot of hands. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, I want to invite you. You don't have to do this, but I would simply just want to invite you that when Brother Gary begins to sing, to come to this altar and ask God to help you. Now, again, this does not mean, I'm emphasizing this, this does not mean that you're losing this battle and boy, you're really struggling with it. It could mean that, but it could mean that you're winning this battle, but it's a battle in your life. I mean, it really is a stronghold that Satan tries to use. Bring it to the Lord. Please, try to be back tonight to hear the answer. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you as he sings, come now, would you do that?
Search me, O God, and know.
My heart to begin to add to these strongholds. And I realize that not every stronghold that I'll preach in this pulpit applies directly to you. I understand that. There's going to be some strongholds that you really don't deal with. But there's going to be other strongholds that God's going to hit you right between the eyes and say, that's you. See, on the flip side of jealousy is the stronghold of pride. You see what I'm saying? That I'm better than everybody else. I don't need anybody. I don't need what they have. I have it already. That's coming in the near future, friends. Because that's another stronghold. And all these strongholds do is expose the works of the flesh, really. And then give answers to them so you can live in victory. I desire to be a pastor that when you come to this church and hear the messages, that you leave with something that's going to help you all during the week. And this is what these messages do. They put things in your spiritual arsenal. That's tonight. That not only helps you with jealousy. You see, one of the secrets to the battle against the strongholds is really all of them are defeated the same way. They really are. They're all defeated the same way. And I'm just going to reemphasize those things tonight. In a different way, with another outline. It's all C's tonight. All C's. I'm doing that to help you remember it a little bit. Try not to force it, you know. Kind of like Brother Graham said, the woman, the well, and the resurrection, he said, you know. Not doing that tonight. Let's not be jealous. Let's be godly. And ask the Lord to help us be completely content with what He's given us. Because what He's given is really what we need. Amen, friends. That's all I'm saying, okay? I know that's not all I said, but that's all I'm saying right here. Okay, good. Much Brother Danny Jenkins to dismiss us, sir, please. Be back tonight, please.